You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
Can you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong. When to turn right, but you turn all the way left.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Wow, and wow, and wow again. We are so excited by today's show because we have a tremendous guest with us today, and it is a true honor to welcome him to our conversation today. Would you please introduce yourself to us?
I'm Pastor Quincy Goodstar from Rapid City, South Dakota.
I'm really glad you're here. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Oh, we're honored to have you here. Truly so. Well, I'm so looking forward to our conversation today because I know that you have some things on your heart, and I'd be honored if you'd share them with us.
Okay. You know, first, I just want to say thank you, you know, for sowing the seed of having me on. Once a month during this summertime, and giving me the freedom to visit with you and your listeners about certain aspects of the gospel of grace and peace. And so thank you for that. And you know, what was on my heart today, this morning, was actually about how when somebody believes that grace is the gospel, that the work is finished, that they end up doing more than someone, they end up doing more for the Lord than someone who's actually trying to do and work for the Lord. That is what I was on my heart.
Yeah, that's great. No, I'm just going to say this is exciting. This is wonderful news.
Oh, good. Like Paul said, I outlabored them all. When he said that, he meant it. And so he was talking, have you ever really thought about that? He was talking about the original 11.
Wow.
Peter, James, John, Matthew. He said, I outlabored them all. And then if you really think about it, you know, he also penned 3/4 of the New Covenant. And so that right there shows he was putting in more work. But he said, I outlabored them all. He said, yet not I. He said, but the grace of God in me. So it's the undeserved favor in him that brought about fruits of righteousness is the way the Bible puts it. Not righteousness, because Jesus is our righteousness. He says, but the fruits of it.
Okay.
And so, yeah, you know, and it's amazing because, you know, when somebody comes to the revelation that, okay, hey, yes, I believe Jesus meant what he said, that the work is finished. So what is my part? You know, that's a big question. You know, what do I have to do? And then everybody immediately thinks that, we do nothing. And then they think, oh, what about, you know, what about this? And what about doing good things, and what about you know, being moral and being sober and being kind and not stealing, not lying, all these good works. Mm-hmm. And you know, the thing about that is, you know, we're all for good works, you know, but yet not for our salvation or our blessings. In the new covenant, your good works are all a fruit of the Spirit, the Bible puts it. Not the fruits of you, not the fruits of Quincy. The fruits of believing correctly, the fruits of the Spirit. You know, because the Bible actually speaks of it. This is something that you never really hear much talked about, but is dead works. You know, the Bible talks about dead works. You know, you never really hear people preaching on what is a dead work.
Right.
Because, you know, they're working. But in Hebrews 9 and Hebrews 6, you know, God, he talks about changing the way you think from dead works. And he says in Hebrews 9, he says, hey, he wants to cleanse our consciences from dead works. It's amazing. So what is a dead work? Somebody might be asking. You know, a dead work, simply in a nutshell, is doing something, trying to do something for your blessings that Jesus has already completed for you.
Wow.
And the Lord calls it a dead work. But what's interesting is it's a good deed. You know, they're not trying to sin. They're not trying to do bad. They're just trying to earn something that Jesus has already died for them to freely have. And God calls it a dead work, a waste of time, a waste of effort that will actually end up wearing you out rather than producing fruit in our life. It's an amazing phenomenon.
Wow, there is so much in what you're saying that I believe will set people free. Because I think many people, I mean, they're not setting out to rob a convenience store or do something horrible. They just think they should do lots and lots of work because Jesus needs our help. We should do our part. And so they mean well. But how can we tell the difference between a dead work and the fruit that the Holy Spirit is bearing in our lives?
You know, I think that is kind of a tough because then we're looking at people's hearts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's interesting that the Lord, he says, tares and wheat look the same.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And when he was saying, hey, the tares, should we get the tares out? He actually said, no, leave them be.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'll sort it out. He said, later on. But, you know, let me put it like this. You know, it really comes down to motive. And
okay,
only the Lord knows the true motive. You know, somebody could tithe, for example, or offer, and the motive be, oh, this is something that I owe to the Lord, so I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then the whole motive is wrong, because Jesus died as you and as me.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus overpaid a debt that we could never pay. So you could really say this, and what I'm about to say, I think, takes a bit of revelation, because, you know, we owe Jesus everything.
Yeah.
However, he paid our debt, so we owe Jesus, so we owe nothing at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And so when somebody tithes an offer because they think it's a debt they owe, then it's not a seed. But when somebody tithes and offers because they know, hey, I'm free of all debts,
mm-hmm,
now it's 100% seed. And now they're giving because now they've become generous as a side effect. And I think this is what it means to be a cheerful giver, because
mm-hmm,
you can't conjure or make yourself be cheerful and give. It takes seeing what Jesus has done that causes a response of thankfulness, cheerfulness, and seeing these things are for free. So because I freely receive, I freely give. Here you go. So the motive has changed.
Mm-hmm.
So the motive is no longer to avoid hell. The motive is, because you are truly blessed and transformed, and Jesus is so good to me, I want to be good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to be, I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and now you are genuine, you're real. You know, you're not trying to be or become, now you truly are. Mm-hmm. And so it's a true heart transformation, not a change from outside within, a modified behavior. It's a true change that comes from the inside out, which mm-hmm. now is real. Mm-hmm. And so now you want to help the poor because you truly care, not because you're just commanded to.
Right.
And this is why grace is superior to the law.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because the law can command somebody to do something, but yet they not want to do it. It reminds me of the kid who the father told them, you sit down. And the kid said, nope. And the father said, you sit down right now. And so or else I'm going to give you a spanking. And so the child sits down.
Mm.
And then he leans over to his brother and he says, I'm sitting down, but inside I'm still standing. and that's actually the best the law can do, you know. You know, the law can't transform a heart. Only undeserved favor, grace, can transform a heart.
Mm.
And so, you know, that's what James was talking about in James chapter 2, I believe. Faith without works is dead. What he was saying was, when you believe correctly, what we were just talking about, when you believe that, hey, I am righteous, I'm not trying to be. That I am accepted in the beloved. I'm not trying to be accepted. You know, he said, then your works, your deeds are just a fruit of your believing.
Oh,
and
that
so,
is great.
Yeah, and that's why James, he said, hey, he said, you want to see my deeds? He said, hey, you know, it's a fruit of what I believe. And you want to see what I believe? He says, look at my life. You know, they go hand in hand.
Right. Oh, wow. This is really liberating. This is freedom, actually, from all the to-do lists and all of the burdens. I think about a precious lady that I used to go to church with, an elderly lady, and she had in her purse a little wheel, paper, and it would spin. And it was her tithe calculator. And it would tell you, look at the amount. It would tell you to the penny how much you should put in church as your 10% tithe. And she would take out that little wheel, bless her heart. And, I mean, you could see that that was something really, like she was really serious about that. And the earnestness of it. And yet, I know sometimes I would see that she was frustrated or felt, you know, you could tell she felt frustrated. And I'm thinking about another person I know I used to work with, and he told me, oh, his life was so easy now because he had put flowers on all the holidays, his wife's birthday, their anniversary, and he had put them on auto delivery. And he said, oh, that way I never miss a holiday, and I don't have to remember them either. And I remember thinking, oh, she's getting flowers, you're checking the box, but not really getting the love that goes with it. And so as I listen to you today, I feel that this kind of grace in the things that we do and the way we serve the Lord, doesn't it restore a lot of the love to the things we're doing?
It sure does. You know, it makes love the core mm-hmm. of why we do things. You know, that reminds me of there was a time when I didn't like going to the hospital for hospital clergy visits. And right. I would get calls and people would say, hey, could you come to the hospital? Pray for me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like going up there. I just didn't. And I would, you know, but inside I was like, the hospital, you know, I was like, you know, I just. And until one day, some years ago, I got a phone call, and there was somebody who was in the hospital, and this person I really cared for, and they were in the hospital, and they asked me to come and pray with them, and without thinking, I went up to the hospital right away, right up to God. I said, I'll be right there. I got up the phone, went up to the hospital, went to their room, prayed with them, and ended up just sitting by their bedside and talking with them. And then finally, the nurse came in and said, we're sorry, Pastor Quincy, but you have to go now. So-and-so needs to get some rest. Mm. And I didn't realize what time it was and how the whole afternoon and evening had passed by.
Oh, my.
And so I said, okay, yes, you're right. You're right. You know, hey, I'll check on you tomorrow. God bless you, and we'll see you. And as I was walking down the hospital hall, the Lord said to me in my heart, asked me a question. Mm. He said, was that hard? Mm. I said, no. I said, not at all. And he said, why? And immediately I said in my heart, because I love them.
Yeah.
And so going to the hospital and spending the time and going, none of that was a thought.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love this person. And so it wasn't, oh, I'm going up there to do a good deed because the Lord says, you know. And because the motive has now changed. And only, you know, the law can never show how much we are loved by the Lord. And Jesus has to come and show us how loved we are by the Father. And he says, we love because he first loved us. And then now, man, you know, we pray for people because we love them. We help people because we love them. We pray because we love the Lord, not because we're checking it off of our box. Got to do devotions in the morning, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you
right.
know.
Yeah, right.
Right. Yeah. It's like, you know, yeah. If we were in the way that we have relegated Christianity to a performance-based relationship, if we interacted that way in our human relationships, many would say that it's toxic.
Uh-huh.
But yet that's the way that we have been interacting with our Heavenly Father.
Uh-huh.
Through steps, through formulas, through things to do, through checking off boxes, when we are freer than what we realize. And when we come to realize how free we are, then we end up acting out what we were trying to do and be through our self-effort. But now it comes about in a supernaturally natural way by the Holy Spirit. And that's good news for us because that means true transformation is effortless. Because it's by the power of the Holy Spirit and not our power.
Mm-hmm.
And that reminds me of John chapter 6, the people, the disciples and the 12, they asked him, they said, hey, what shall we do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting. Man always wants to know what to do, you know.
Yeah,
what
right.
shall we do? And just to be specific for the listeners, it's John chapter 6, verse 28 and 29, if they want to take a peek.
Mm-hmm.
But they asked Jesus, they said, what shall we do that we may work the works of God. And that's still a question that's being passed around in Christianity all over the world to this day. Mm-hmm. What do we do so that we could do what Jesus is doing? And this is what Jesus said. Jesus answered them and said, "This is the work of God, that you believe in whom he has sent."
Wow.
And so that's why, again, believing is everything. You know, we end up acting out what we believe we are. And every believer knows, as a man or a woman thinks in their heart, so is he. You know, but they've been thinking, they've been trying to become something they already are. You know, we're back to the garden again. When the devil said, "Hey, you eat this, you'll be more godly," when all the while they were godly. They were trying to, and so they were trying to be something they already were. And now today, Christians are trying to be something they already are.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to be righteous when they are righteous in Jesus. Trying to be holy when they're holy in Jesus. And then when they believe these things, then they end up bearing fruits of righteousness and doing holy things, but yet as a side effect of believing correctly.
This is good news. This is really good news. This is really wonderful news. I know so many people. In fact, there are literally books about church burnout. There are people who are tired. They are exhausted. They have schedules for how they will interact with God and church work and all of these things. And they're exhausted. And when I look at my Bible, I see that when people spend time with Jesus, they are healed, delivered, saved, refreshed. Little children want to play with him and come see him. I mean, being more time with Jesus is actually wonderful. And yet, when I talk to some of my loved ones and friends, and I'm like, "Well, oh, I'm just so tired of all this church work. Oh, I've got so much to do. I'm exhausted." This is good news, isn't it, for everyone who is tired?
It is. It is. It's interesting how, you know, nobody's more active than Jesus, you know, but yet nobody's as restful as Jesus.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, we see Jesus, he's always doing something for somebody, but yet at the same time, he's most restful. It's always done out of this position and this foundation, this place of rest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's and have you ever noticed this? It's like when people are doing things because they think they have to, then here comes burnout, and here comes, I don't feel like doing this today. But when people talk about Jesus, we become invigorated.
Yes.
You know, it's like when you meet another believer and you're talking about Jesus.
Yes.
Not talking about the law. You're talking about Jesus. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of a sudden, there's like this motivation. Even physically, there's like this life that's imparted in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me of like the two people on the road to Emmaus.
Yeah.
That was a 7-mile walk one way.
Yeah.
One way. And we know the story, you know, Jesus was walking with them and they didn't even know. But when they realized it was Jesus, after the 7-mile walk, they said, "Didn't our heart burn within us?"
Yeah.
When he shared the scriptures with us. And what the Bible says, he was sharing things about himself, not what to do, not what not to do, not the law. He said he was sharing about himself. And then this caused their heart to burn. And then the scripture says they got back up and walked back seven more miles.
Right.
You know? It's like all of a sudden there's like this motivation, and on the inside is, yeah. Even now we're talking about Jesus, and I'm sitting, but I was standing, now I'm sitting again. I'm just <It's>, but yeah, it's but yeah, Jesus, it's interesting. He says that the Spirit that he gave to us, the Holy Spirit, who is God, that's in us, he says is in us. He says giving life to our mortal body. And I'm so glad he said mortal body,
yes.
Because that means this body here
right now,
he says, he's giving life to this body right now, even to the listeners as we speak.
Yes.
Life is being imparted into your every cell by the Spirit of God.
Amen. Oh, amen. See, that is good news. That's wonderful news. That is love in action.
It is, and it takes the pressure off.
Yes.
You know, now there's no pressure to perform.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now you can truly enjoy life, you know, when you're enjoying Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so now life is, now the Christian life has really become joyful. You know, it's like, you know, and the Lord, he talks about joy unspeakable. And many people who are working for Jesus, and hey, I'm a pastor, I'm a preacher, I'm in full-time ministry. I mean, what I do. But, but people who are working, we're talking about dead works, working for Jesus, you know, it's like there's no joy unspeakable. You know, there's like no peace.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's like even because there's always something that they think needs to be done, or they're thinking, did I not do something that needs to be done?
Right.
But yet, when you know everything is finished,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, there's a peace there, there's a rest there in your heart and mind, and now there's joy unspeakable because you're walking with somebody who's not demanding from you, but yet supplying to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. To be loved like that, I mean, that is such a great love. To know that you can't fail, that Jesus doesn't keep a scorecard. Ooh, look at her. She only read one chapter of the Bible today. Oh, no. He only prayed 15 minutes. What? I mean, Jesus isn't doing any of that. He's just wonderful and good and filled with love for us, and I am so grateful. I would be so honored if you would take a minute and introduce our friends, someone right now who really wants to know Jesus in the gospel of grace. Let's have an altar call.
Oh, yes. If you're listening and you want to give your heart to Jesus, or even just give Jesus a try.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I gave my life to Jesus, I fully didn't believe in Jesus. I just thought, okay, I'll give him a try.
Mm-hmm.
And if Jesus doesn't come through, hey, you can have your sins back. But I know. But I know Jesus, he will come through.
Mm-hmm.
He will come through.
Yes.
Not your earnings. And so if you want to give your life to Jesus, give Jesus a try, just repeat after me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Forgive me of every sin.
Forgive me of every sin.
And fill me with your Holy Spirit.
And fill me with your Holy Spirit.
And teach me to rest in your love.
Teach me to rest in your love.
And in your promises for me.
And in your promises for me.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to the family.
That's right. And I believe that many who prayed that prayer, you felt something. I should say the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
change, transform you by faith in an instant. And now I just want to encourage the listeners that if you prayed that prayer by faith, you are now righteous as a gift. Righteous in Jesus. You are brand new in Jesus. You're not trying to be. And all of that happened in a moment by faith, not doing, by believing. And so I would encourage you to own that new creation identity.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, that is beyond beautiful. And so before we go to commercial, I want to make sure that everyone knows how they can connect with you and your ministry, maybe even join Grace City or whatever you have to offer them to help them in this wonderful walk with Jesus.
Yes, the easiest way to connect with me and our ministry would be go to QuincyGoodStar.com. And from there, you can find our social media. You can go find Grace City International. You can find our television broadcast. All through the website's the easiest way. And yeah, hit follow on the Facebook page, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and you can reach all those destinations through the website there, QuincyGoodStar.com.
Marvelous. I love talking to you, and I'm so glad that you'll be back, and I'll be back, and we'll all be back right after these messages.
Lord, can you come and save her? Let her believe it, get on her knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back once the world forgave you.
TalkTainmentRadio.com podcast is another way to go for those of you that's on the go. You can now get your favorite programs on most new cell phone technology. Let us work like a DVR and enjoy our podcasts for those shows you can't fit in your busy schedule. The Road to Featured Podcast. Type in TalkTainmentRadio.com. Go to homepage, scroll down to Featured Podcast, click on Play or click on Subscribe for more programs. Or you have the option to download. Podcast is the way to go for you busy folks. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Another reason to come, another reason to stay. Radio, the way it should be heard.
Unlike other health concerns, mental illness is not always easy to see.
D-E-P-R.
Mental illness doesn't show up on a scale.
Bipolar?
Sorting out a mental health concern takes professional diagnosis and treatment.
Anxiety. I thought so.
If you or a loved one has a mental health concern, don't go it alone. For 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Learn more at samhsa.gov/support.
Meet Norm. He lives with anxiety, but with the help of this latest innovation from Be Normal, he can be normal, just like everyone else. With the swipe of a finger, you can project happiness, confidence, machismo. Why settle for being real when you can be normal? The Normal Maker. New from Be Normal.
This item doesn't really work because there's no such thing as normal. We're all different. What we like, how our brains work. In fact, 1 in 5 of us live with mental illness. Don't filter who you are. Start by talking to someone you trust. And remember, there is no normal.
What do you think you're doing, Kevin?
I was just going to drive home.
There are several warning signs present that you shouldn't be driving.
Like hearing voices?
Like your text to emoji ratio?
Oh, man, the selfies.
Selfie nailed it.
We all have warning signs that let us know that we're probably not okay to drive. Mine is pretending to be your subconscious.
Craig, come on, man, let's put a ride home.
Presenting great moments in the history of 1-800-FED-INFO. For years, Americans have turned to 1-800-FED-INFO for government information. Make your own great moment. Call 1-800-FED-INFO. It's government made easy.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
believer. Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back once the world forgave you.
I am so thankful that our guest is with us today, that he honors us with his presence and with the wisdom and revelation that he shares with us. I'll ask you to introduce yourself again, and we always love it, and you're always welcome to introduce yourself in your traditional way as well.
Oh, yes. I was actually going to do that. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Great minds think alike.
All right. Hao metakiapi, chantelo washte, nape chuziapilo, quincy wichakpi washte, and machiap. What I said was, greetings, my relatives. My name is Quincy Goodstar, and I greet you with a glad heart and a warm handshake. And that is our traditional Lakota greeting.
Well, how wonderful. I love that. Thank you so much. It's a great blessing to us. I have been wondering, and I would love you to share whatever's on your heart, but I wanted to ask you specifically about, for those of us who are indigenous, following Jesus, being indigenous Christians, can be kind of a unique experience, can't it?
It is, because I think the census says 3% of us claim Christianity.
Right.
And so I guesstimate it's like 1% that are really walking.
Yeah.
Yeah, really walking in a relationship, you know, with Jesus. Right. And so, I totally agree.
So what, I get asked this a lot. I get asked this a lot. People ask me, you know, you're traditional and you follow your traditional ways. How can you still be a Christian? And then I have Christians who say, well, you're a Christian now. Shouldn't you get rid of your traditional ways? What does Jesus think about that?
Oh, it's interesting because, you know, what they're saying is that, one, they're saying you should become a white American Christian.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Because that kind of question or that kind of logic doesn't exist in other countries where there's really one culture, you know, but where here in America, where there are many cultures, and of course the American culture is the dominant culture. And so, but the American culture is very young. It's 248 years old.
Wow.
That's it. And so it's actually brand new. And so, but there's a difference between culture, custom, and spirituality. And many people don't know, the difference between the three and just mash them all together it was Martin Luther who said, any culture only needs to be like 10% redeemed. You know, because Jesus, he says that he gave us our culture, every culture.
Yes.
And even gave us the boundaries of where we lived. Every tribe, every nation, he said he even gave us these languages, our languages. And so, but even the Jewish culture, he redeemed. Judaism was redeemed. You know, and so, so today, for example, you know, you have a Messianic Jew who believes that Jesus is the Christ. And so he knows that he doesn't need to be sacrificing bulls and goats and sheep and all this. And but yet he still keeps his culture. He still holds bar mitzvah. He still keeps his culture and his customs. And then you have an Orthodox Jew. But the Orthodox Jew, he's still waiting for the Messiah. You know, he's under the law. He doesn't believe that Jesus is the Christ. He's still waiting. He's still working for his salvation. He doesn't believe the work is finished.
Mm-hmm.
And And in that same way, you know, like us Lakota people, instead of 10 commandments, we have 7 sacred values is what we call it. And 7 sacred rites, which are 7 different ceremonies that we have. And, you know, but in a couple of those ceremonies, one of them in particular is the sun dance. And, you know, but me, what I say is, you know, I'm a Messianic Lakota.
That's awesome.
You know, I keep my customs and my culture. We still honor each other with giving each other names. That's one of our 7 sacred rites as Lakota people. We still, we have the ceremony called the Making of Relatives. And there's songs and whole ceremonies that go along with these. However, the sun dance, I no longer have to do. Because, and what that is somebody shedding their blood and being pierced. And so Jesus, he fulfilled that part. He shed his blood and was pierced, so I no longer have to do that. And so, you know, but we have Lakota today who still do that. Every summer they're going to start, they just began this month again. And they'll go all summer long. So you could say these Lakota are Orthodox Lakota. They're still under the law. They still believe that they have to work for their blessings. They don't think that the work is finished, you know, and so they're trying to earn their way. And so in a nutshell, and by the way, I know a good book called The Blue Road.
Yes.
That it goes into more detail about all that. And so through that teaching, you know, it's a revelation, you know, it really shows us how someone can be an indigenous person or any culture on earth and be a Christian and not compromise one or the other. And so, you know, because one big lie that the devil has perpetuated among our Native American people is that Christianity is the white man's way. And I used to actually say that, and not knowing that the Bible is tribal and not one white person wrote in that book.
That's right.
And so, but what's interesting is, to believe, for an indigenous person in America, to believe that Christianity is the white man's way is actually a colonized mentality. Because who told you that the white man owns Jesus?
Mm.
You know, but to believe the truth that, hey, Jesus, he is cross-cultural.
Yeah.
He's for all of us. He is the, and I'm preaching to the choir here, he is the desire of all nations.
Yes, amen.
Yeah, right. And so, you know, that, it shows that, he's cross-cultural. He has no barriers. And so one thing that I tell some of our Native people is that, hey, do like the white man did, take ownership of Jesus.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, that is really powerful. That is so powerful because, oh, how he loves us. And he loves us all. And the Bible is filled with all kinds of people from all kinds of places who Jesus just loves. And Jesus is tribal too, you know. I really believe that he understands us and he understands our tribal ways so very well because he's tribal also. And so I love your explanation and I love your interpretation of all of this because Jesus loves us. He loves us. And I am so thankful to hear you say that because I don't know that we hear that enough. You know, I'm from the Bible Belt,
And, you know, growing up, we heard the missionaries sort of tell us that it was in spite of. Jesus loves you even in spite of your hair or in spite of your skin or in spite of who you are. And he loves you. He loves you anyway. He loves you just as much as me. And now I realize Jesus created us. He loves us. He thinks we're marvelous. And that, to me, is a place where your book truly helped, The Blue Road truly helped me, and it helped my uncles and my family members to really see that clearly, that we weren't, you know, we weren't sort of like accepted in spite of, and Jesus sort of tolerates us. He loves us.
Exactly. And, you know, have you ever noticed how no matter what culture it is on earth, mm-hmm. that their old belief system or religion is all about works?
Yes.
It's all about earning and working for to be accepted, to be loved. Every single person's old way, every religion on earth, except true Christianity.
Oh, wow.
You know, true Christianity is the total opposite of that. True Christianity actually says the opposite of that, that you cannot earn it. Mm-hmm. You cannot earn this love. You cannot earn a blessing. Mm-hmm. But here it is for free.
Yes, that's right.
You know? Yes. I mean, and that goes against the grain of even our human logic and thinking. Mm-hmm. It's like, how could this be? You know, this amazing, amazing love, amazing grace. And, you know, even when man fell, he wasn't thrown away. You know, man fell in the garden and immediately he goes to work. I mean, he doesn't even have to be taught that. It's mm-hmm. in us. He tries to cover himself. But yet we see the Lord. He doesn't reject them. He says, you know what? He actually makes the first blood sacrifice and covers them. Mm-hmm. And he says, I got a plan in place for you already.
Yes.
I mean, we don't see rejection, but yet we think we're rejected. It's such a trick of the enemy. Mm-hmm. Because I have a message about how narcissism is how the devil, he was the first narcissist. Mm-hmm. He's the father of narcissism. And he, and today psychology says, you know, that narcissists deflect and try to put on the person what they are. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting how he's the one who is rejected.
Yeah.
And he tries to put that on God's children, that he rejects you, when all the while he is the one who's rejected. He has no room to talk.
No. Yes, and you know, no. I love that. Thank you for telling us that. Now go ahead. Thank you for letting us know that.
Oh yeah, and so, you know, talking about, you know, and then our works, you know, then all of our good deeds become, again, side effects. We don't even become aware of our good behavior anymore.
Right.
You know, it reminds me of, this is the way Jesus put it. He said that, you know, in the last days, in the end times, he said when he comes again, he said he's going to say to the righteous, that's the us. He said, hey, when I was in jail, you visited me. When I needed clothes, you gave me clothes. When I was hungry, you fed me. And then he said, and the righteous will say, when did we give you clothes? Yeah. When did we visit you in jail? When? Yeah. And he said, and we know the story. He says, you know, when you did it to the least of these, you did it to me.
Amen.
So they're doing a whole lot of good stuff. But this is what's interesting is they weren't even aware of their deeds.
Right.
They said, when did we do these things? Hey,
that?
I was just being me. Yeah. I was just living life.
Right.
I'm just enjoying you, Jesus. Yes. When did we do these things? They weren't even aware of what they were doing. And so everything became real, genuine, from the heart.
Oh, that's magnificent. That is wonderful. I'm wiping tears out of my eyes because that is magnificent. I mean, that's one of those moments that, thank God for Jesus. Really, just how wonderful. There's a word you used several times, and it's a common word in Christianity, but I want to make sure that we explain it to our listeners in a way that we can all understand and accept, because I hear it used differently sometimes, and that's righteousness. Righteousness. Could you tell us what righteousness means in the gospel of grace, please?
Yes. Righteousness, well, we know righteousness literally means right standing with God. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's an interesting scripture in Romans 10. You know, the Lord, he says that, and he says this about, well, I'll just tell you what it says. He says that, he says, these kinds of people have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. So they got a zeal for God. They got a motivation for the Lord. He says, but not according to knowledge. Mm. And he says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness. So it's God's righteousness. He says, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness for everyone that believes. But what's interesting is they're not trying to sin. Right. They're actually trying to establish their own righteousness. They're trying to establish their own right standing with God. And the ignorance is they can't. Their best deeds fall short. Our best deeds fall short. Mm-hmm. And he says, doing this, we're not submitting ourselves to God's righteousness, which is a gift. You know, we're not receiving the free gift when we're trying to earn our way, because Jesus is the end of the law for righteousness. You know, you would think that from this one passage that every preacher, every Bible school in the world would preach on this because they want believers to be in right standing with God. You would think that they would explain this, that this would have become common knowledge in Christianity.
Right, yes.
You would think, but yet there it is. And yet so many people today are ignorant of God's righteousness as a gift. And so the devil has pulled a number on the body of Christ, many circles in Christianity, by tricking them into not doing bad things, but doing a bunch of good things that will wear them out. Because God not telling them to do one of those good things.
Right.
And it's a tactic of the enemy, because Daniel prophesied about this when he said in the last days, he says, the Antichrist, you know, anything against Jesus. And he said, one of his tactics would be to wear out the saints of God. And so what better way to wear out the saints of God? What better subtle way? Because he's subtle. He says, then to give well-meaning, sincere believers 20 good things to do, and God not tell them to do one of them, and every single one of them being a dead work.
Mm. Wow. That's amazing. I mean, that's just amazing, and I thank you for sharing that with us in this way. What do you want us to know about good works, the good works that we do by grace?
You know, one thing that I want believers to know is that if you, because most of the time, most believers are trying to do good works to kick some kind of bad habit. Maybe they're not trying to worry so much or not trying to be fearful, or if it's drugs, alcohol, whatever bad habit, pornography, they're trying to kick. They think, okay, well, I got to do this, this, and this, and then all the bad will go away. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how my way to victory. When I want to encourage the people to don't worry about your deeds. You know, there's a scripture in Jude that says, now to him who's more than able to keep you from stumbling. And so don't depend on what to do, what not to do to keep you from bad habits and fear, worry, but depend on Jesus' ability to keep you from not worrying, not fearing, not doubting, from all these bad habits. And the side effect will be a victorious life. It's not your doing, it's believing in Jesus, that he is maintaining your salvation, he's honing your character, he's the one keeping you from all these things. Not your deeds. He will keep you. Depend on him to keep you.
That is beyond beautiful. That is really, truly beautiful. Thank you so much for everything that you've shared with us today. What a blessing to have you here. Will you please pray for us? Close us out with prayer. I really want our friends to continue to experience the grace of the gospel.
Yes. Well, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God, bless everyone under the sound of my voice. And thank you, Father, for bringing about revelation and truths in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds that will set us free like never before. And teach us to rest in what you have finished for us. And every worry, every care we cast on you. And thank you for over-providing for our every need and keeping us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Oh, well, what a wonderful conversation. And we thank Jesus for you and for the wonderful gospel of grace. Grace is the gospel. And thank you for being with us today. Tell us one more time how we can connect with you, be part of the great ministry that you have.
Yes, please go to QuincyGoodStar.com and follow us on social media. You can find the links on there. You can find how to view our television program on there. You can find our link to Grace City International, our digital church, on there. And go to QuincyGoodStar.com. You can send an email through there. There's messages on there. Yes, QuincyGoodStar.com.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect. Well, we sure are thankful to you, and we're thankful for you. Thank you so much for joining us today and for honoring us with your wisdom and your kindness. We are really thankful that you're here.
Thanks for having me. It was a blessed privilege to be here.
Well, I'm glad that you'll be back, and I'm already looking forward to our next conversation. And to all our friends who listen, to everyone who makes this possible, we are so grateful for you. We sure do appreciate you. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and I'm looking forward to when we're all together again next time.
You come and save her. Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard. They pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave you.
You got the power. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com.